हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावनीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, page 6. Maharaj Yudhishthira continued, O best of the Brahmanas, you are directly the son of Prajapati, Lord Brahma. Because of your austerities, mystic yoga, and trance, you are considered the best of all Lord Brahma's sons. No one is superior to you in peaceful life and mercy, and no one knows better than you how to execute devotional service or how to become the best of the Brahmanas. Therefore, you know all the principles of confidential religious life, and no one knows them better than you. Srila Prabhupada comments. Yudhishthira Maharaj knew that Narad Muni is the supreme spiritual master of human society, who can teach the path of spiritual liberation, leading to the understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, it is for this purpose that Narad Muni compiled his Bhakti Sutra and gave directions to in the Narada Pancharatra. To learn about religious principles and the perfection of life, one must take instruction from the disciplic succession of Narad Muni. Our Krishna consciousness movement is directly in the line of the Brahma Sampradaya. Narad Muni received instructions from Lord Brahma and in turn transmitted the instructions to Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva instructed his son Sukadeva Goswami, who spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. The Krishna consciousness movement is based on Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Because Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami and Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna, there is no difference between them. If we strictly follow the principles of disciplic succession, we are certainly on the right path of spiritual liberation or eternal engagement in devotional service. So it's this point, spiritual liberation, the eternal engagement in devotional service. Right? So that's the meaning of liberation. Because otherwise everybody has their idea of what liberation means, right? Getting out of the difficulties of the material world, all these different things, but it actually means being eternally engaged in devotional service, in the Lord's service. That's the meaning of liberation. Sri Narad Muni said, after first offering my obeisances unto Lord Krishna, the protector of the religious principles of all living entities, let me explain the principles of the eternal religious system, of which I have heard from the mouth of Narayana. Right? So, Yudhishthira Maharaj says, accept him as the best, you know, who understands the Vedic system and how devotional service works in that. So now, and he's pointing out that he knows because he's heard it from Narayana. So that's the actual point. That's the connection. Does that make sense? So he knows so well because he's heard from the Lord himself. Lord Narayana, along with his partial manifestation, Nara, appeared in this world to the daughter of Daksha, Maharaj, known as Murti. He was begotten by Dharma Maharaj for the benefit of all living entities. Okay. So Dharma and Murti. Right? Okay. Even now he is still engaged in executing great austerities near the place known as Bhadarik Ashrama. The Supreme Being, the Personality of Godhead, is the essence of all Vedic knowledge, the root of all religious principles, and the memory of great authorities. Right? So that you can remember something, remember the Lord, make the connections, because to make a connection you have to be remembering things. You can't not remember something and make a connection. So that the sages remember these things, that's what then makes it special, because that's the Lord. So, yeah. So the prince, okay. Okay. The root of all religious principles and the Vedic essence, because all Vedic knowledge is about him. He's the root of Dharma, means all Dharma comes back to him. Essence of knowledge, all knowledge is about him. Right? So, yeah. Okay. So, he's heard from Lord Narayana. Means the Lord has spoken to Brahma. Brahma has spoken to his son, so he's already heard it there. And now again he's heard it from the Lord as Narayan and Narayan Rishi. Right? Because he being the original spiritual master doesn't mean that he can't talk to someone in the line. But his connection with the Lord is through Lord Brahma. Does that make sense? So he can directly interact, directly hear instruction, but that doesn't mean he's not in the parampara. Just like Baladeva Dibhushan, then his commentary on Vedanta Sutra, he heard that directly from Govindaji. Right? But then where is his connection? So he's connected to Vishwa, and then it's connected on back to Rupa Goswami, and then this way, then back to Govindaji. Right? So the point is that's the point, is the founder, then everybody has a relationship with. In the line. Does that make sense? So, in the way of then Krishna is there, then the line is there, but everybody has relate because it's always his instruction. So in the same way when you have the founder Acharya, it is the instructions of the previous Acharyas, but it's how we can understand it. Right? And so then everybody after that has a relationship with the founder, but their diksha connection is through who is in the line. Does that make sense? So you can have that direct interaction, but you don't have a direct connection. Does that make sense? That's the distinction. You have direct interaction, but you don't have direct connection. Just like the grandson and the grandfather have direct interaction, but not direct connection. So it doesn't get in the way of the relationship. Right? We think, oh no, direct is better, so I have to have that. Yes.
To following instruction.
Yes, but you can hear directly the instructions. So when we read what we're reading from what Prabhupada's saying here, we're directly contacting Prabhupada. We're hearing directly from Prabhupada. Or here Narad Muni is speaking. We're hearing directly from Narad Muni. But how do we have access to this? It is through our spiritual master. Does that make sense? That's the whole point, is you have your relationship. How do you connect to the family of Krishna consciousness? That puts your position, but it's not that anybody within the family can't interact. Is that... Yeah. Oh, King Yudhishthira, this principle of religion is to be understood as evidence. Right? So it's not that, oh, well, that's an opinion. Nowadays, people like to say, oh, you know, Manu, that's not for us, we're devotees, so that's just, you know, that's just some, you know, ideas. But here it's saying, no, this is evidence. Evidence means, is praman. Then all your prameyas means what is, praman is what, how, where is its evidence. Then what is proven by the evidence, that's all your other points of the philosophy. So therefore, this religious principle, this is evidence. So Dharma is evidence. Right? And so then therefore you're basing other aspects of your life on this. Not that it's a way of doing it, or so you could do it like that, but you know, it's so archaic and we're so modern and up to date and so 1990-ish, you know, that we're just right on the, you know, behind the curve so far you can't even see us. Right? Did I get that right? Yeah, okay. On the basis of the religious principle, everything is satisfied, including one's mind, soul, and even one's body. Right? So religious principle is how you're going to bring the philosophy into practical application. That's what you're trying to do. Because you have the philosophy, that's the knowledge, that's the facts. Then you have to apply that in your life. What is that? That's religion. That's what is it. You can't separate the two. That's why you separate, then you end up with sentiment or mental speculation. So we'll see is those who accept, they may or may not look at the philosophical, so there'll be some sentiment there. Those who don't accept the Vedic version, they accept the philosophy and they just speculate. Oh, it could be this, it could be that, we don't know, and you know, we have to work on it, we have to have a meeting, and we have to have a million meetings actually, like that. Does this make sense? So that's speculation. That's what we're trying to avoid. So when the two are used, means this is the philosophy, so now apply it in your life. So you're going to do something. You're going to serve Krishna. How do I serve? Okay, you use the body, mind, and words. Okay, what activities in devotional service that are favorable to Krishna without karma and jnana can my body do? Can my mind do? Can my intelligence and senses do? That's what Dharma defines. It simply says what it is. It'd be like saying, cooking for Krishna is the thing, you know, it's all these things, we have to engage ourselves always in the Lord's service, okay? And then the religion is, okay, this, you know, how you say, the pot you put on the fire here, you put something in the pot, and you have this spoon here, and you push it around. Right? So, put the pot right side up. Put the handle facing you, or a little bit to the side, so you don't bump into it. But don't put the handle the other way. Don't put the handle over the fire next to you. Don't put the pot not centered on the fire. Don't put the pot upside down and try to cook on the top, unless you're doing chapatis. Right. Oh, that's an exception to the rule. Why is it, you know, you said it was like this. Why is it this way? It's so confusing. The pot's upside down. How does that go? Because the chapati is dry. It doesn't matter. It's not going to roll. It's not going to roll off. You try putting any other sabji there, it will fall off. Right? Because you don't. Do you stir a chapati? No. So it can just sit there. You understand? So, therefore, the chapati, that the pot's upside down, it proves the rule that the pot goes right side up. The exception proves the rule. Because only the chapati can do that, other things you can't. So it has to be right side up. Okay? Does that make sense? Right? Okay. So, now, then according to how much heat you want, you put the fire on that much or less, or you use a bigger flame. You want more fire, then you use a bigger flame. Means the burner itself. So you have big burners, small burners. So you want more heat. If you only want a little bit of heat and control there, you put use the small burner. But you want a lot of heat, use the big burner. Though it can be turned up and down depending upon what you're doing. Right? Does that make sense? Now, when you put the pot on and you turn on the heat, because there has to be heat for it to cook, therefore, don't turn it on too much earlier than you're cooking, otherwise the pot will burn. But don't turn it on too late, otherwise everything will just sit there. Right? Like that. And to make sure that the fire is working and everything, therefore, then there has to be the fire itself, the stove itself has to be connected to the gas. And so connection to the gas, you have to make sure it's there. If you get a gas smell, then you have a problem. If not, then it's there. So then you see that that top thing that goes on there is that, and the little thing, little knobby is turned so that the gas is coming out. Right? Now, if you're doing, ideally you should have another gas thing, because if this one runs out and you're halfway through cooking, it's really a trip to take that, go down to the place, find out it's closed because the guy went for lunch, and then sit there and wait. Finally he comes back, if he does come back, you know, and that, and then get your gas, then go back and cook your preparation. Therefore, it's always recommended that you keep two of those things. Now, to have two of those things, you need permission. You have to go, you have to apply the papers and all these things, you have to pay the money, you have to buy all the things like that. Then having that, then you have bona fide gas cylinders. Now you can get gas whenever you need it. We're starting to catch how religion works here. All it's doing, and we say, so many rules, this is all impractical. If you know cooking, has anything I said is impractical? No, but for a cook, that just happens. All what I just mentioned over the last 5 minutes is actually about 5 seconds worth of application. You just think, put on the thing, turn the burner, put the pot on, go get your whatever it is you're doing, and it's done. So, people who can't cook, don't like to cook, they like to order out for pizza. They will say, oh, this cooking process, this is archaic, this doesn't work anymore. Hey, you know, we live in a little apartment that doesn't have facility for cooking and all that, so, you know, we're so more advanced. That's why we order out for pizza. No, you don't have the time, you don't have the culture, you don't have the experience of all this, but as a living and a human being, you could learn. Right? You actually could learn. It's just a matter of if you want to learn. So religion is simply saying all the little details so that you won't make a mistake and won't make trouble. Because we can say, oh no, but you know, this is so archaic, this is so restrictive, why can't I just do whatever I like? And then, yeah, what will be the result? Any of those rules that I mentioned, if you don't follow them, you will not work, get a good result. Just won't. But so many rules, so restrictive and all that, that's because you only know how to push, you know, speed dial to your favorite pizza place and say, I'll take the regular. You know? So much more efficient, yeah? It means the relationship is so great and everything, you know, everything is so much more refined. Plus, see, the disadvantage also, what's archaic about it, is all the pots and pans stay in the kitchen. So you can't have those stacks of old pizza boxes on your coffee table and on your sofa. You know, it just shows that you're the modern, you know, person, up to date, you know, living right on the edge. Well, yeah. So this is the problem. There's the science of cooking, and then there is the dharma of how it's going to be applied. That's what it is. So dharma is the evidence. It is the basis. Otherwise, how do you apply it? So people who say no, simply they don't know what they're talking about. It's that simple. You know? And in this, we said it again, we'll say it again. We've said it before, we'll say it again. Those that have learned directly from Prabhupada and don't worry about all this Varnashram stuff, leave them out of this equation. But if they weren't directly trained by Prabhupada and they say we don't need this, they do not know what they're talking about. That simple. You ever? How many can do the full Achman here? Okay? Have you? And how long does it take you? 5-7 seconds? Right? Have you seen it written down? Yeah. It takes a page and a half. Oh my God, look at that. It's 7 seconds. So that's the thing. We look at, oh, all these rules and regulations of religion, but it only takes you a few seconds. But it's just making sure you don't do something wrong. Because if you do something wrong, it's going to have further repercussions. Right? Now, you don't do all those things, it comes out bad. Because it comes out bad, then the other members of the family won't like what they're eating. From that, they'll start to go eat somewhere else. You know, and then what's going to happen to the relationship? Right? Or you don't put the pot properly, like I said, center on the fire. What if it falls off? What if you get burned? We didn't even get into burning. Like that. You know, like that. And then you're incapacitated, you can't cook. Then what are they all just going to do? And again, they're going to go off somewhere else and find something to eat. You know? And then it's all this, and then what do you do with that? If you burn yourself, then you put this, you do that. You understand? So it's just talking about one thing, but it's so many things connected with it. That's the point of tradition. That's the point of association. You learn all these things by association. You have the knowledge, you're trained in the knowledge, but it's through association that you pick these up. So those that understand Varnashram can follow it because they've learned from others who have it. And those that can't, because they haven't. It's that simple. Saying that it doesn't work, this is the modern age, people are doing it today. And they're successful. And good chance, on the average, more successful than those who don't follow. So that's the whole point, is that it's very important. That's why it's on the basis of this, everything is satisfied, including his mind, soul, and even one's body. It works because it deals with all of that. It tells us how the mind works, how the intelligence works, how the body is engaged. Therefore, what are the relationships, what are the emotional interactions, you know, how to analyze things. It tells all that. That's dharma. So, is that useful or not? Yes. But is that everything? If I know all those technical things about cooking but don't offer it to Krishna, is everything perfect? No. So that's the whole point, is that I know the religion, I know it connected to Krishna, then it's perfect. I know the religion not connected to Krishna, at least I can say he's a good cook. Right? But I don't know, and I accept, or if I say, oh, we don't follow all these rules, we just cook for Krishna, and then you go in and break all these rules, how nice is it going to be? You can say, oh, it's fabulous, because your nourishment, you know, your satisfaction of the mind is coming from that I'm doing what I want to do, therefore it's perfect. Yeah. even though the result everybody else can see is not very good. Right? But the perfect, because it, you know, this is, oh, wouldn't this be great? And everybody else is just thinking, what are they going on about? So that's the point, is that here's something common, everybody can follow it. Some is a little better, some is a little, but the basic, everybody does. Right? That's the whole point. So it doesn't matter the thing. All the things that I said, the basic principle, will work no matter what you're doing. Even if you go out to the village, you're using cow dung fire or wood fire, the same principles go. Means you have your wood that you're burning or your cow dung you're burning, should you have more cow dung? Or just enough to start the fire? No. So therefore the point of the stock, how you keep it, can you keep it too close or far? No. Too far away, you walk away, things burn, it's too close, it may catch on fire, it gets in the way. So the principle remains, it doesn't matter. So whichever one I take and use as the principle to explain it, it applies to all the others. And if one can't see that, that's because of lack of experience. Not lack of intelligence, just lack of experience. Because if you apply great intelligence to nothing, you get nothing. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Okay. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's quotes from the Nisringa Puranato.
Puranato.
Is that the Italian form of
Puranato?
The Nisringa Puranato.
You don't know it is
good? No, I don't know it is. He established that Narad Muni is the most qualified person to answer this particular query. Sanaka and others were engaged in the dharma of renunciation, and Marici and others were engaged in the path of enjoyment through dharma. Only Narada was free of both of these. Right? So, in other words, there's an attachment for it. See, this is going to be the point. Because now we've said, oh yeah, that sounds great to do. But at the same time, then it says, we don't do that. You know? Now comes the problem. Right? So, the point is, Shanaka are engaged in dharma renunciation because they like renunciation. But they're engaging in the Lord's service. Right? Marici and others, then they are on the path of enjoyment because they like the path of enjoyment, but they can engage in the Lord's service. But Narad Muni's free of both. But does that mean he doesn't follow religion? No. It just means that he's only interested in its connection to Krishna. So he's not into all the rules, not, you know, like the guy, you get into the car and, you know, you sit down and like that, and they're sitting there and they've got the seat belt and I check this, you know, check the mirror, do all the different things, you know, check the different things like this, and you're thinking, are we going or not? Yeah, just wait, you know, because they're doing, these are nice things, but the problem is they're attached to those things rather than, the whole point of driving. You understand? Does that make sense? So, in other words, it's not about driving that you're engaging safety along and efficiency along with it. It's about safety and efficiency. It's not about the driving. Does that make sense? So that's where the difference is. Narad Muni, it's about the driving. But for Shanaka and Marici and others, it's about the safety and the efficiency. Yes? No, there's a phenomena that once you walk through the threshold of your own house, all the rules and regulations of the Vedic, they don't apply at all. It's just a matter of whatever you feel like doing, you know, whenever you feel like doing it, all is there. You know, it's just nothing. It's just whatever comes from your own mind, and that's fully it. But as soon as you walk out the threshold towards the temple, then suddenly all these things again come into play. It's an interesting phenomenon of the material nature, how they control everything. So in your house is a completely separate universe. And that, and then when you go outside, then that has the... Does that work?
Yeah, because it's a matter of being taught, being trained.
Yes, it's just a matter of, you know it, it's just the way you do Achman. If it's less than, you just do the three, that's enough. But if you're seriously going to do something that's going to take more focus, then you'd use the full Achman. Like that. So it's just a matter of what. So the temple, you're doing a full thing. If you're home, you're doing something. If it's a matter of you have 30 seconds to make the offering, then you might do the shorter achman. yes, like that. But as a standard, it's up to whatever level of puja you'll be doing. So that means within the rules themselves is the consistency. Because otherwise you see is there's also that inconsistency. If someone's very strict in one part of the Vedic rules, and in another part they're not at all. So it should be they're strict. It's basically across the board, or they're more limited. It's across the board. But otherwise then it becomes mental that they pick and choose which parts to be very strict and which parts not. So that becomes a disturbance. So the idea is make it consistent. If you do more of a regular elaborate puja, use the full. But if you're just doing very simple, then keep it simple. Srila Prabhupada adds, the purport is that to become a devotee, one must follow the principles laid down in Shruti and Smriti. One must follow the codes of the Puranas and the Pancharatriki Vidhi. One cannot be a pure devotee without following the Shruti and Smriti. And the Shruti and Smriti without devotional service cannot lead one to the perfection of life. So they go together. So here's very clearly being said, based on what Narad Muni is saying, because this is his instructions. So when we're talking about deity worship, talking about Varnashram and these things, then Narad Muni is the authority. Because he mentions, as an avatar, what is his preaching? His preaching is Naishkarmya, which means how to engage, it means using Varnashram as your basis of social economic interaction, your spiritual situation, but doing it without attachment. Right? And Pancharatra, then how to worship the deity, that you engage the body, mind, and words according to the rules and regulations, because we don't have that natural spontaneous love. Right? So it's a very perfect, and we would all accept that he's a good preacher. Right? And he's preaching and all that today. It's not that he stopped preaching because it's Kali Yuga, so he can't preach anymore because his techniques of Varnashram Pancharatra don't work anymore, so therefore he's just hanging out in Brahmaloka, you know, how you say. You know, he doesn't mind because, you know, up there, the quality of the pina coladas, I mean, oh, it's amazing. You know, even the umbrella, oh, my God. You know, so, but the point is, you know, and then once Kali Yuga passes, then he'll come back out and start preaching again. Right? No? Yeah, okay. So, Prabhupada is mentioning here, you cannot, one must follow. One cannot be a pure devotee. We're saying, oh, we're just into devotional service. We don't have to follow these rules. But Prabhupada is saying you can't become a pure devotee unless you follow. You can say, yes, I am a third-class neophyte devotee who basically does not really function on the mode of devotional service and mode of goodness, but more in passion and, you know, I mean, if we're honest, throw in a little ignorance, but, you know, I'm not going to emphasize that. You know, I'm going to bring out the passion because at least, the Naradamas and all that who are successful in the world, they use passion. So it's much more, you know, Yukta Vairagya to do, right? And so, therefore, then we're going to, you know, this is my position of that. So, because I'm that, that's why I don't follow the rules and regulations. But in reality, you want to be a pure devotee, you have to follow the rules and regulations according to what the Shastra says. But, like Narad Muni, it's free from both the need for karma and jnana. Otherwise, if we overemphasize, that's because of our need for karma and jnana. Does that make sense?
Can we say that by following, despite karma and jnana, it will be purified?
It will be purified. That's the point of Naishkarmya.
If we don't profess karma and jnana?
If we don't profess.
Yeah, like we say that's all right, and that's what we want to do.
What's all right?
Karma and
jnana. Then you'll have a problem, because then it'll turn into sakam. But nishkam means you're using the position or tools of karma and jnana in Krishna's service. So therefore it's karma yoga, jnana yoga. So free from karma and jnana means it's not, there's no yoga there. Right. So that yes. Even karma yoga can be karma misra. Right, you know, bhakti. But then the point it comes is that whether what's the intent? So we may be on that platform, but we want to come to the platform of pure. And so we accept that we're on this platform. So the point is I'm performing Sakam Karma Yoga, but I'm trying to please Krishna, but I have these attachments, so I'm engaging these attachments in Krishna's service. That will give you knowledge and detachment. That will bring you to Jnana Yoga, where therefore you either, if it's useful in your service because of your position, you continue it, or you find that that's not necessary anymore. Does that make sense? There's so many things that we may do. You know, you have to go to Calcutta every week. But after a while, we find out that, you know, we don't have to go every week. You know what I'm saying? So that means it wasn't. It, you know, we engaged it in Krishna's service, and because of that, now we're going, you know, once every 3 months. So because of the knowledge and detachment, then that goes. But now if it's a service, let's say somebody's doing shopping for the deities, and that they go in once a week. Now in the beginning, maybe they like to go shopping. That's why they did the service. Now they do it because they like to serve Krishna. And their nature to be able to, you know, tolerate, you know, the Calcutta markets, then, you know, is engaged in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? So that's the difference. That's the first one we're talking about Marici. But the later stage we're talking about Narad Muni. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that we're able to make that switch. So if we understand this is where I'm at. But as soon as we say that, oh, how can you distinguish? That's, you know, discriminating and all that. But we're discriminating. But what about saying, oh, following these rules, we can't do that. Isn't that discriminating? Where's the encouragement? Oh, you're just throwing it out. Oh, no, we're just being practical. Why is it when the liberalist is practical and throws everything out in an insensitive way, he's oh so wonderful? That's the problem. That's why we say mental speculation. There's no consistency. Does that make sense? So we understand, I'm on this platform in this area, so I engage it in Krishna's service. Not that, in other words, it's okay to engage it, but it's not that this is the cat's meow in devotional service. Right? So it's not pure devotion. It is mixed. But this is the platform I'm at. By that, you'll progress. But if we just use the, how you say, the emu standard or whatever it is, that sticking your head in the sand, like that, the ostrich, like that. But I've heard that they don't stick their heads in the sand. But they must do, otherwise why did it come up with the idea? Unless there was something in there that they were eating, and so that's why they have their head in the sand. Right? You know, somebody's coming, so they want to make sure that what's in the hold is safe, so they stick their head down there and check it out, like that. And it had nothing to do with actually hiding. Does that make sense? Or if their head's in there, you can't get at it, right? So that's also another way. Another thing. They use their feet, so. You know, they're, what do you call it? Yes.
Can we say that out of following fanatically or mental speculation, just kind of rejecting fanatically, out of the two kinds of Niyamarga, how the Rupa Goswami talks about, that it's better to follow without maybe being motivated materially than to reject being motivated materially?
Yes, because at least then it's pious. So, right? In other words, they're both Niyamagraha, they both miss the point of pure devotion. But one is pious, the other one is impious. One is karma, the other is vikarma. You can say, oh, that's just karma. But rejecting it is vikarma. It's just sin. Like that. So we have to understand what this means. Narad Muni was only, Narad was free of both of these. It's not that he doesn't follow, but he has no interest to gain from, in this case, the Varnashram system of karma jnana. Like that. He is just, that's the medium you use. Right? To cook, you don't have to have a fetish about pots and pans. You know? Like that. It's just, you just, they're very useful in cooking. Right? But the point is you'll cook. Whatever kitchen you're in, you'll cook. But if you had an opportunity to put together a kitchen, you put together a kitchen with the best things. Because it works the best. But it's not that, you know, like the expert, he goes into the kitchen, oh, this is not here, that's not here, how do you cook in this? And the whole time, all they're talking about is how useless the kitchen is. Right? People like that, you know, we don't require.
So the platform of Vaidhi Bhakti Maharaj, is it natural and there be a little bit of the kind of, or is it more progressive, I should say, there be a little bit more following with material motivation rather than that rejecting everything kind of?
Yes, it would be better.
Yeah.
But with time, one will get the knowledge and detachment, then one will actually understand it in the proper maturity. So then one's very relaxed in following. In other words, if they're following it nicely, but it kind of causes a disturbance because they're thinking that following it is the devotion.
Yeah.
No, following the order of the spiritual master, that's the devotion. The rule itself is only to help in the devotion. They're saying, so the real devotion is following the instruction. So it's a slight difference. It just takes time.
So is it more likely to get to the ideal stage from there than to get from the room to rejection?
Yes, because rejection is always a negative, because then the point is are we rejecting everything from Krishna? Because if we reject everything, then Krishna is God, you know, we're his servant. That's also part of it. So we tend to pick and choose. But the point is anything connected to Krishna, you will make advancement. So even if they're following, you know, the path of Niyamagraha where they reject, if they're following anything, if they do that sincerely, with time they get the knowledge of detachment where they'll then start to follow. Right? But you could say is that it's better to be following than not. But both of them have, you can say, oh, but so many problems come up from that. So many problems come up from not following. Nowadays, what's the authority? What are you supposed to do? You go house to house. Everything's different. Everybody's got a different opinion. But the other way is you have community. Everyone follows the rules. So at least you have community. You have a basis for interaction. Though it may be stiff and you may not be able to accommodate anybody who's not following. But that's the point, is you can say, they can't accommodate anybody outside their community. But the people who don't follow can't even accommodate those within their community. You know what I'm saying? The community is that we have no community. Right? Our community is we criticize those that have community. That is our community. Yes. But the other one is they have community. You can definitely see, here's a community. They all follow the rules. It does have its weaknesses, but it has its strength. You know, while the other one, there's more weaknesses than strength. Now that they're thinking about it, they're free. That's the nice part, but why not apply that and understand why they follow? That doesn't come up. Oh, why we should follow. But if it's explained, will you follow? You know? Or is it more about, no, I'm independent, I do whatever I like. Is it about that? Is it that, or it actually is? No, I don't want to be a blind follower. I want to know why. But then are they asking and inquiring? You know? Of those who don't want to be blind followers, are they inquiring, trying to find out why Varnashram is working? So then you see that there's a weakness there. So both have, but it says, without following, you are not going to become a pure devotee. So therefore, better follow and then work on your devotional attitude. Rather than not follow, work on your devotional attitude and then have no basis. Because if figuring it out when you're younger is so much of a trouble, how much more trouble it will be when you're older? Right? Like that. We're not saying that it's not effort to bend bamboo. But when it's young, that effort gets better result. When it's old, basically it gets hardly any result. Like that. That's the idea. Yes?
What is the effect on the practitioner when they're practicing devotional service in the lower modes?
Basically, they disturb themselves, they disturb others. You know, some effect is there because it's devotional service, but they can't take advantage of association. They aren't good association.
So they're making progress, but being very
slow. It'll be slowly, yeah. Who knows how long it'll take. So the idea is the acharyas are giving us a system. In one lifetime you can perfect yourself. you know, I say, Jarabharat makes that point. One lifetime. You know, Prabhupada makes that point. Everybody makes that point, at least in our line, that in one lifetime you can perfect, you know, yourself and go back to Godhead. So it's possible. So if you want that, then you make that endeavor. But if you want the things of this world, yes, you can get that. As pointed out, you know, Krishna will give you the position of Brahma before he'll give you pure devotion. Right? Because getting Brahma is just a position. Getting pure devotion, he's giving himself. Right? So if we want stuff, then why not all the stuff? You know, so if you have pure devotion, you have Krishna. He's everything. Then you already automatically have everything. But to get everything, then you have to not want anything. That's the point. You want everything, you can get it, but you have to want nothing to get it. And the more you want, the less you get. Like that. That's the way it works. Right? Why? Because it's about the relationship. It's not about the stuff. The stuff is to use in relationship. You know, it's like somebody set up their whole living room and it really looks good and everything, but then they won't let anyone sit there because they'll mess it up. That's people who want stuff. It's about the stuff. It's not about, I have a nice arrangement so people can come over and all that. You know? And then they make a mess out of it. Yes, and then you clean it up again and then it's ready for the next time. You understand? So that's the point. It's that it's about the relationships. But the modern mentality, not even the modern, just the materialistic mentality. Just the modern is worse at it. The materialistic mentality is it's about the things and the activities that generate the results, because results become things. As soon as I get the result, it's a thing. Right? And then now what I can do with the thing. So it's all about things and doing something with the thing. So it's all about the existence of my facility and manipulating my facility. And then what's the higher principle is whose desire are you fulfilling? So we're fulfilling our own desire, that's material. We're fulfilling Krishna's desire, that's spiritual. So the point is if you're fulfilling Krishna's desire, then the things and the action is just for that. Right? But if it's not, if it's mixed, then the things and the action are important to you. And then you're willing to share. You know, nice karma, it is Krishna's, but you know, you want to take part in it. Or sakam, you want to, it means you have to take part in it, but it's not necessarily what you want, but you want the results. Does that make sense? And so all it's saying is give that up. Narad Muni has given both, so he's working on simply Krishna's desire. That's the method. That's how it works. So if that's seen, then it works very nicely. If it's not seen, then we'll get distracted by the things and the forms and action, because that's the feminine nature. And so if we want to be controller and enjoyer, we're controller and enjoyer of what? The feminine nature. Right? That's why it said all living entities are Purusha, means all the materialist, means the conditioned. Because everybody's trying to enjoy feminine nature. So that's the point. So that's what we're trying to get beyond. But that doesn't mean that you're not engaging the feminine nature, but it's not for our pleasure, it's for Krishna's pleasure. So we're looking at, if it's not for our pleasure, why would I do it? And if I do it, then it must be for me. So that's why karma yoga and jnana yoga become very difficult, because we're used to the impersonal aspect, is that if I don't want the result for me, I don't do the activity. No, the same activity and the same field, the same activity, that's done for Krishna's satisfaction. Right? That makes sense? That's what we're trying to switch. But because we're so attached to action is for myself and renunciation is also for myself, we're trying to get it to the point of no. Action and, let me say, your action and your renunciation, that is about Krishna. You want to do it in connection to Krishna. So I'm using these things, but for Krishna. That's why it shows example of those with nothing, like Narad Muni, and fully absorbed in the Lord's service, and some with everyone, like Yudhishthira Maharaj, and like that. So here are two people who are doing this. One is having nothing, one is having everything. But both of them are free of both karma and jnana. So this does that make sense? That's where it comes confusing. It's that, oh, for free, why are we using it? No, but you can use it. He's a king, he uses it. Narad Muni's a brahmachari, he doesn't use it. Yes?
Materialistic mentality is all about the control and then we join. But in reality, we're the ones who are put into the uncompromising borders of control in order to even achieve something.
Yes, no, because as we take, we're the controller and enjoyer, so that's always going to be a problem. Because Krishna's the controller and enjoyer. That's why Shastra always talks about he's the original one. He created, he glanced, he made it happen. You know, not the guy was there and he glanced and he saw the girl and therefore then was, you know, creation happened. Right? You understand? That's the whole point. Is because we're used to it that we're the one that's seeing. When it's actually Krishna's the one that's seeing. Because he sees, we see. Yes, we're the seen. But being the seen, but we can also see because he's the seer. You know, that was the point of the verse. Because he sees, therefore he can be seen. Right? Because his seeing means then there is the principle of seeing, therefore we as living at the being part and parcel of the Lord, we can also see. So then we can see the Lord. Therefore, from all the evidence, the conclusion is that without bhakti, devotional service, there is no question of religious principles. That you're following all these rules and regulations, but if it's not about bhakti, it's not technically religion. You can say it's the religion of let's say, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, but are we that? No, we're the soul. So what's the actual religion? It means who's involved? Is the Brahman involved? The Brahman's actually a dead body. It means dead matter. Okay, the soul's there. So the nature of the Brahman is being going through the motions, but why? Because there's a soul there. So we're following the nature of the Brahman, but are we following the nature of the soul? Because the soul is the one controlling. So if we're not doing that, it's not actual religion. Because the real nature of the soul is servant, and that is servant of the Lord. So if we have that attitude of serving the Lord and the mood of service, then our performance of our duties work. Because then we're performing our particular position as service to the others. Right? So, that's how the humility comes, even though we're doing things. Because it's my service to do this particular activity. Right? And I do it for the Lord. That, therefore, if you do bhakti, then religious principles have meaning. But if it's not bhakti, then it's just religion of the dead body. Right? It's moving around. Brahmins are moving around. Kshatriyas are moving around. It looks like so much is happening, but nothing's happening. Because all the souls are actually asleep. You know, when you get up in the middle of the night, walk downstairs, go to the refrigerator, make a Dagwood sandwich. But, you know, on one sense you can say something's happening. But as far as the effect and benefit to the soul, nothing's happening. God is a central figure in the performance of religious principles. Almost everything, so the religious principles are what's the nature of something, how does it work? So God's the center of that, right? Sambandha, relationship, he's the center of all relationships. Right. Almost everything going on in this world as religion is devoid of any idea of devotional service and therefore condemned by the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So that's the whole point. It's not, so the devotional service is the important part. Someone's following religion, nice, but it's still condemned in that the living entity will stay here. He'll stay here in a nicer condition. You know, he'll end up in the, you know, the, what do you call it? You know, I don't know what you call them, those prisons where they send guys that make a mistake with their tax and stuff.
Penitentiary.
Hmm?
penitentiary.
No, penitentiary, regular, but it's one, it's very low security.
Club fed.
Yeah.
Is it a club match?
The club fed. Yeah, it means it's got a cyclone fencing around it, right? And the guys sit inside, and it looks like a house, like that. And, you know, then they have the high security, you know, then they're for, you know, like that. So that's all. Is that the guy who follows, then he's in a nicer aspect of the prison, while the guy who doesn't, then he's in a less. Okay. Without devotional service, so-called religious principles are only cheating. Footnote 2. In his Bhaktisandarbha, Anucheda 58, Srila Jiva Goswami writes, Varnashrama cannot give its fruits without bhakti. Right, so there must be some devotion. So even you follow the Varnashrama, you say, oh, we followed it, didn't work, so where was the devotion applied? Right, how is it seen in connection with Krishna? Right, there may have been, in one sense, an intent, therefore devotionally they developed, but the social aspect didn't, because we didn't see its proper application. But that is also due to just lack of qualifications, because we'll see when Narad Muni starts to talk about what's required, we can see is we didn't necessarily walk in the door with these 30 qualities. Right? We might even say now after so many years, then, you know, how many of these do we actually have? Right? Does that make sense? Right. So, therefore, with the qualities means I have the mechanics, but you require the qualities to make it work, right? You have to have the mechanics and the qualities. Then you put that together, then you get the result you're looking for. But the main point is that it's about devotion, it's pleasing Krishna. But because I've used the mechanics and the qualities, there is a seeable form. Does that make sense? I perform the activity of Varnashram. I have the proper knowledge and skill. I have the proper qualities. Then when I perform the action itself, I will get a specific result. So you follow Varnashrama, all that proper, that will you'll get. But the point is why you're getting that result. If it's not for Krishna, then what's the point? So just that you mechanically went well, you got the result, that's not the perfection of Varnashrama, is that you pleased Krishna. So that means along with the good qualities, there must be the attitude of servant of Krishna. Otherwise, if we only have good qualities and not the attitude of service of Krishna, we're a nice guy. Yes?
Is it the difference between Varnashram and Daiva?
Yes, you could say. Varnashram means here's the mechanics of it. Daiva Varnashram means you're using it in Krishna's service. But the mechanics don't change. Right? In other words, since it's a descending process, that means the mechanics of Varnashram that the devotees follow is the essential points, because the essence is about Krishna. Right? The basis of is the religious is that I'm servant of Krishna, so what is recommended as service? Then, for the materialist, it expands beyond that to you can take these things and overdo them. Does that make sense? You know, so therefore then you can get. Does that make sense? So it's just like, you know, okay. Shastra says by having one child, then you fulfilled your duties as a grihastha. Right? But Shastra also mentions that generally having two children, then the mind is more peaceful. You know, because it's kind of, and okay, you did okay, but then again, okay, then yes. But it also mentions about, you know, having 10 children.
Huh?
Yes. And so then it's a matter of that's the wide range. You only, Grihastha only technically needs to have one, but if they have 10, it's not a problem. So depending upon where is your, how much is important to you in this and that, then nothing. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is the Shastras accommodate the whole wide range. Like that. That's the whole point. It accommodates that. But it's not that itself is what makes the bhakti. So you just follow that, that's Varnashram. You do it in connection with the Lord, then that's there. So is it favorable for you to have 10 kids, or is it favorable to have one kid? Right? It means you can't pick a number in between. We're just giving an example. It's 1 or 10, that's it. You know. So I said, give me liberty or give me death. You know, it says one or the other. You know, so, yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Okay, so without devotional service, so-called religious principles are only cheating. But that doesn't mean, oh, we throw it out. Don't be a cheater. Right? That's the point. You know, if we're worried about modern morality, then don't cheat. That's all. Not, oh, throw it out. We'd only throw it out because it's foreign to us. And so therefore, you know. Yes. Narad Muni continued. These are the general principles to be followed by all human beings. Right? So general means it means it's there for everybody. And all human beings, that means if you kind of have the form that we would call human, you know, it means the standard being, you know, two legs, two arms and a head, and there's something in between that connects all of them together. Right? You know, then that's human being. Right? Does that make sense? You walk on the back legs, you know, all the time. You know, you're not down on your knuckles all the time. You know, like this kind of thing. Yeah. Okay. So that means that all times, all places, all circumstances, basically this is the general. You may adjust a little here and there for it, but it's not that, oh, these don't apply. Truthfulness, mercy, austerity, observing fasts on certain days of the month, bathing twice a day, tolerance. Right, so these are general principles. More specific, says Brahminical, is three times a day you bath. But general is at least twice, because in the morning you bathe, and then the daytime so many activities, and then again in the evening. You know, in other words, you're bathing during the ashram time, and you may not be bathing during the varna time. Does that make sense? Now, if the varna is Brahminical, you're doing, then that third bath is there. Right? But brahmacharis, vanaprastha sannyasi, that's then generally, if they can't, they bathe three times a day. Right? But if not, the brahmachari, at least he bathes once a day, you know, in the morning, like that. He doesn't have to worry, because in the evening, then when he's finished his duties, who's he going to be sitting around with? Brahmacharis, right? So no problem. But the grihastha, after a day of activity, he's going to be sitting around with women. Therefore, he has to take a bath. Right? The Brahmin's taking bath just because of the standard of cleanliness. He's not doing it because he smells better. Right? Does that make sense? He does it because of the cleanliness, purity.
Also because of the whole day of the occupation, if you take a bath and you sleep.
That's there, yes. That's the side benefit. But the point is that it's like this. Why do you sleep nicely? Because no one's going to harass you and give you any trouble, so you can go to bed peacefully. That's another thing. The point is, you take the bath and the wife is happy, so therefore you can sleep peacefully. Okay. See, the thing you have to remember is the woman also is taking a bath because she has to live with a woman.
Herself?
Yeah. Women don't like stinky things, so they won't like themselves if they're stinky either. Yeah, but the point is that's the principle remains. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So on that note, Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Govardhana ki.